cooking something up with me. Hey, sweet baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe?
Journalist Teresa Curry frequently chooses food as a subject. Her weekly column, Everyday Chef, graced the Virginia Pilot for 4 years. Teresa's written about food for such varied publications as Organic Gardening, The Washington Post, Charlottesville Home Style, and Flavor Magazine. Teresa's first jobs in journalism were reporting for a couple of small-town weeklies, covering everything from sports to car wrecks. But it was while living and working in Rappahannock County back in the early 1980s that Teresa Curry discovered food writing.
I was asked for the sesquicentennial of Rappahannock County to do a series of interviews with people who had been displaced from the park, and it really interested me. And so
that's the Shenandoah National Park.
This is the Shenandoah National Park, and it took a long time, and it was hard to win their trust. There were many still alive then. It was in the early 80s. Who had moved and had still missed the park, or were very bitter about losing their home place. Some of the places that they lived had become almost like hollows where they didn't like strangers coming in. So it took me some time, and I many times was stumped. There were families that were so important for us to include in our book, and they wouldn't talk to us. So one day I was with such a family, and I said something like, well, I always wondered what children carried to school in those days before refrigeration or even lunch meat. These people didn't even have peanut butter. And they would just brighten up.
Huh.
And I realized that food was a way, it was such a common thing that for people to be concerned about and worried with, and also to enjoy and center their life around. So I'd start talking about what would you carry to school in your lunch pail, and they'd start talking.
What would they talk about?
They'd talk about what they had fixed for breakfast in the winter when there was nothing, and how they survived and what they did to survive, and how they raised little tiny bits of food up on those really stony mountain crags, you know.
Interesting.
And how they, what they traded for food, and it was their whole life, really, was food, and how to gather it and preserve it and make sure there was enough for their families. So then I started thinking, well, you know, this is important. Food's really important. And I'd always liked to cook. So it just seemed to come as a natural thing to specialize in.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay, Teresa Curry. Food has smell and taste, and you can look at it. How do you write about it? What are you trying to get across?
Well, I think there's all kinds of ways. Usually, if you're writing nonfiction like I am, I'll be using other people's words for the most part to get the story of that food across. I remember so clearly one woman saying, you know, people around here didn't know nothing about cornbread. What she meant was they always made biscuits. In one hollow, there might be people who didn't know nothing about biscuits. They always made cornbread. And so I would use their words. And at times I've had to make up my own words, use my own language to talk about food. But normally those words have kind of been supplied to me by the people that I interview. And for me, it's never about the $500 bottle of wine. It's always about the window that it provides in people's lives.
You're a wonderful writer. You call yourself a journalist. What's the difference between being a writer and being a journalist, do you think?
I really don't write for fun or for my own enjoyment. I always go back to the story. That's what I like. I like people's stories. They fascinate me. And I think that's how we learn. At least that's how I learned. Everything I've learned has kind of been from a story that I've gotten from somebody else. And I think that's pretty pretty common, an age-old way that we pass on our values and beliefs and our things that we think are important is through stories.
You always strike me as not having a pretentious bone in your body about your writing. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be published in, you know, a small town weekly or the Washington Post. Telling the story really is the thing. Am I correct in that assumption?
I hope so, Martha. I mean, that's very flattering. I remember at one time when I first started doing freelance food writing, and this was not my Oral Histories of the Mountain People, but I was sending things out to magazines. I did a lot of reading of food writing, and I thought I had to write with kind of a sneer in a way, you know. Not yeah. a sneer, but there
with
were
your pinky
some
in the air.
Yeah, in fact, my editor sent something back to me, and I think it was from Gourmet. And she said, "What is this about? Simply make a pate a choux." So nobody may simply whips up a pate. You know, you just can't throw off things like this.
So you haven't always been this.
No. I was trying to sound like what I had read, and then I realized that I needed to just be as down to earth and write in my own style, and so I did. I was reviewing restaurants for a while. I had a job reviewing food at bed and breakfasts throughout the South, and because a lot of them offer dinner as well as breakfast, mm-hmm. but breakfast is a perfect good meal too to review. And Martha, I just hated it. I kept thinking that I was not cut out to be a reviewer because it's so subjective. It's so subjective. And then suppose you just don't like the taste of cabbage and somebody serves you cabbage. So, I mean, it's just, to me, people are struggling so hard when they're in the food business. All of them are working hard. And to think that your remarks could be the kiss of death for their establishment, to me, is just too scary.
Okay. You're talking one moment about writing about holler food and the next moment about writing about pate a choux. How did you acquire such a wide comfort range with food writing?
There was another big influence that I don't want to pass over, but in the same little town I lived, there was this wonderful restaurant, the Inn at Little Washington. And the chef there was really had just been in business a couple years, Patrick O'Connell. He's very well known now. At the time, he was struggling, and he had a small place in that he'd converted very carefully from an old garage in the center of town. And I was selling vegetables and bread at a local farmer's market. And he came and talked to me and said, "If I teach you how to make French bread, will you make French bread for my restaurant?" His kitchen was so small that he couldn't get a pastry chef in there and a bread maker. So the pastry chef had to get there at 5 in the morning, and he just didn't see any way to get the bread ready before the evening service started to be prepared. So I said, "Sure, if you'll show me." And he did show me, and he gave me some books and spent a lot of time trying to make sure that the product was going to be okay. And as everybody who's ever heard of him knows, he's just extremely passionate about food, and it has got to be perfect. And I really saw another side of the whole food thing, someone to whom it's completely consuming, that he, you know, I know that he could actually taste a recipe in his head before he had made it. And he was determined that every detail of every bit of food that was served at the inn was going to be just perfect. And it was. And that kind of detail and passion really struck me. It was very different from the kind of down-home writing I was doing about the mountain people. But in a way, a lot of it was the same. It's a kind of attention that food gets because it's necessary. But also, just like quilting or any other endeavor that people take a need, and instead of just filling it, they make it a real joy, a piece of art, work that they can be very proud of.
You talked about people in the food business struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a greater struggle than to pay your rent mostly with writing. And, you know, you're a charming, intelligent, well-educated woman, and you chose a career and a path that, well, she's, shall we say, is not going to be showered with material largesse. And you seem pretty happy about this. What's the satisfaction for you in the what you've done with your talents? I mean, how do you feel looking back about these choices that you've made?
Well, there have been a few times when I've regretted the fact that I hadn't done something more lucrative. In particular, when my children were getting ready to go to college. But for the most part, I felt lucky, very lucky, to be able to do what I set out to do every day. And the other part of it is I have many friends, and I know you do too, Martha, who are writers, but they do something completely different in their daily lives so that they can have that 3 hours a day at night or at dawn to write. And so many of them will never complete the circle that I think is necessary for a writer, and that is to have somebody read what they've written. And even when there were some times when I wrote about Eastern Bloc polymer development, you know, when there was nothing else to write about. I've written about a lot of things other than food and have been glad to do it because it's all storytelling when you get right down to it. Some of it's more interesting and more difficult than other ways, but I feel very privileged that I've always been able to do it. I've always been able to make a living at it. And I've always had readers, which for some reason is important to me. That's a part that's very important to me, that the stories that people have allowed me to write about their personal lives, that I haven't disrupted them for no reason, that there will be somebody that might learn something or enjoy their story and appreciate their lives.
What percentage of your waking time are words percolating in your head? Or do you just shut it off?
Oh, I think probably most of my waking time, Martha, because what I do for fun is the same as what I do for work, really. I cook, or I think about what I'm going to cook, or I garden too. It's all part of the same thing. And there's many things that I do during a day for my work, as everybody does, that are not that much fun. But for the most part, it's what I want to keep doing as long as I can do it.
Teresa Curry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Martha.
Say, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?